Okay, so we stopped aiming for perfection, but now we've got another tough one. I mean, none of these seem particularly easy to me when these come up, Carol. And this one of don't be a victim. Now, I must admit, this is an area that I don't feel, you know, at last something that I feel strong about. I'm not a victim. And you know, I'm going to push back. It's just like my dad talking about the weight thing. This is not, but I got to tell you, it drives me crazy when I'm around people who are in that situation, and particularly because I don't know how to help them. I don't know how to help them get out of that. So can you, what are the things that people need to understand about not being a victim?
Well, the first thing is, most of us have had experiences in life where we were victims. But there's a difference between having had experiences where you were a victim and seeing yourself as a victim of life or circumstances. The interesting thing is that if you think you're a victim, you will be one. It's the way the law of attraction works. You get what you think about. So you'll begin to do things like set people up to treat you like a victim. You'll perceive things they do as having victimized you. You will not draw boundaries, by the way, if you're a victim. You will not quiet the critical voice. You won't assume the positive. You will always take things personally, and you will try to be perfect, because victims want to keep being victims. And the other thing is what you just said is people actually don't like victims, and ultimately they begin to treat them badly. But to answer your question, you can't help victims, because if someone wants to be a victim, they get enmeshed. They get entrenched in that concept. The best thing you can do for someone who's a victim, don't rescue them. See them as what we call in coaching creative, resourceful, and whole, and that they have the answers. Don't coddle them. Don't spend time listening to their victim story. Do not believe they're a victim. But if you're feeling like a victim of something that's going on at your work, stop and say, wait, I am not a victim of this. There's a solution here. I can figure this out. I don't have to be a victim of this situation. There was a great American Indian who said to me, you will either be a victim of your circumstance or victorious in your learning. And I wrote an e-zine about this just recently where Lolo Jones was running the 100-meter hurdles in the last Olympics in Beijing, and she was well ahead of the pack. She was the favored to win. Right before she got to that ninth hurdle, she felt the gold medal around her neck, and all it took was that split second where she lost her focus. She clipped the hurdle and finished, I think, seventh, well out of the the medal. So what happened was, of course, at first we saw pictures of her, you know, lying on the track, crying. She was very upset. She was definitely a victim. But she realized, after she thought about it, that she had lost her focus. She had felt that gold medal around her neck. She's run these hurdles for years. She knew that's all it takes. You lose your focus and you're done. So instead of staying, you know, focused on the job at hand, she projected into the future. It caused her to lose her concentration. She is not a victim of her circumstances. She took responsibility for how that got created, and she's going to have that beautiful learning. She's going to be victorious for the rest of her life because she took the time to realize she was not a victim. So if you're feeling like a victim, stop it. You know, it's not true. You're going to set people up. Just stop and look to see what's another solution, what's another possibility. And I have a perfect example for this. I have a dear client that I coached for quite a while. And, boy, you actually did an interview on her. She's on my home page on my website. She had five kids. Two of her own. Her name's Anne. And two were from her sister who had died. She had five teenagers at home. In the middle of all this, her husband becomes addicted to prescription drugs. They had their own business. He was half the business. She had to let that business go. Meanwhile, she's now got five kids she's trying to take care of and a husband who's basically, you know, on his way out in terms of any kind of productivity at all. So she goes and she takes a job working in her field, and she just is so productive. She just sells and sells and sells and just brings in tons and tons of business and is doing very well and able to support her family. She's not rolling in dough, but she's able to support these five kids and herself and pay her mortgage, et cetera, et cetera. So she, oh, and by the way, she had two kids in college. So just to make expenses even more difficult. So the second year rolls around and they decide they want to cut her commissions. They want to pull back, and then they want her to sign a non-compete clause. And she felt like such a victim of these people because she had had some tough things happen to her in her life, but this feeling like the victim was just pulled her right down to where she couldn't even see a solution. What on earth am I going to do? Look at all these things that have happened to me. And I kept telling her, you are not a victim. You are strong. Look at all you have done. Look at all the help that has come your way. Look at the people that are there supporting you. So we got her to stop thinking like a victim. We had her look at the fact that she actually couldn't afford to stay there if they cut the commissions. She couldn't make ends meet. And so from that place, she went back into them and renegotiated with them, refused to sign a non-compete clause, and worked with them for a little while, and finally eventually realized she could do better on her own, left and started her own company, and she is thriving, all because she was not willing to hold herself and see herself as a victim, but instead was determined to be victorious.
Now, I have to tell everybody on this call that if you do nothing else with what you're learning from Carol, you need to go listen to Ann's interview. It's a long one. It's one of the longest ones I've done for anybody, but we just couldn't cut it because it was such a powerful story, and you left out the part about her father dying in the middle of this and her, you know, her sister and brother causing problems. Oh my God. It's, you know, if you want to feel good about your situation, go listen to Anne's, because trust me, she's been through worse. And the best part of it is that she did pull herself out of it, and it wasn't easy. It took a while. I remember in that story that took a while for her to get through that and to step through it. And much of what she did, were many of the steps that you've talked about so far. I mean, you can clearly hear it in that interview. So I recommend everybody, if you really want to understand about how not to be a victim, go listen to Ann's story on Carol's site, because that's also free. You can get that available right away. So,
hi, it's Bill, your editor, again for the last time, I promise. But we just talked so much about that story about Ann that I just thought you needed to hear a little piece of this, because I want to encourage you to go listen to the whole story. But let's listen to this little section from Ann.
But what I still wasn't was in control. I still let things control me, and I still felt very victimized. I think I really played the role of victim. I didn't have to get out from under it. And that was a message that Carol delivered to me, and boy, did that hurt. You know, I felt like, you know, somebody saying, now you're in the role of victim here, and you're allowing yourself to feel victimized. And I wanted to say, shut the hell up.
I am a victim.
Exactly. But she was right. I really felt like poor little Ann for a while. I really did.
Well, if anybody had any reason to feel poor little Ann, it would seem like you. Why? How do you get past that?
I began to feel taken advantage of at work. So Carol kind of coached me through getting the guts to go to my boss and say, I'm doing a better job here than anyone else, and I'm not getting compensated for it, and I'm going to leave if I'm not compensated appropriately. And
well, that was a pretty gutsy thing.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Where'd you get the guts to do that?
I didn't have any choice, because I wasn't going to survive on the compensation program they designed. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have a choice. And I mean, that's what Carol kept saying. What is the worst thing that could happen? You would have to go find a job. You will have to find a job regardless. You can't support your family. So that message, that was really important. And that's what made me strong enough to go in there and say, fix this.
Right.
And they responded and they fixed it. And then I began to recognize that I can make things happen. I don't have to wait for somebody to call me and say, we'll take care of this. I can make it happen.
If you only knew all the things that she went through and was able to still pull herself out of it using some of these techniques is really, truly amazing. Now, let's go back to the interview.
Now, you mentioned, however, I remember distinctly when I said I hate it when I'm around victims and I want to help them, but I don't know how to help them because they got to help themselves. And you said, well, you can't help victims. They have to help themselves. But you, in fact, do help victims. I mean, Anne was a victim. She was feeling like a victim, and you helped her. So were there key points that you helped her understand that broke her out of that? I'm not sure I understood those from what you just said.
Okay, yes. One of the things was to have her realize that even though people like her sister and brother had turned on her, that there were a whole lot of other people there supporting her.
Right.
So that while it looked like she was a victim everywhere or being victimized everywhere, that she actually had, all sorts of people helping her along the way. I mean, even working at the company, they liked her. You know, they really did. The guy just got greedy and wanted more of the profit for himself, the owner of the company. But so the way that you help people with realizing that I can help people, because remember, they're paying me to get help. If they stay as a victim, ultimately, I'll drop them as a client. If they're not willing to make any changes, then there's no point them paying me to coach them.
Right.
So you have to be, the first step is, you have to be willing to say, okay, I've seen myself as a victim, but you know what? I really don't want to do that anymore. So Carol or anyone, will you help me change that? Yes. So we start by having people look at where are there really people who were there to help you all along in your life? Where are there people right now who are offering help, but maybe you're turning it away because you're seeing yourself as a victim? Where are you not looking for solutions because you see yourself and you want to keep seeing yourself as a victim?
Okay.
So those are the important things that you can't rescue somebody, but, you know, what's that old thing about teach a man to fish and he can eat for life or something?
Right.
So it's teaching people that people really, more than likely, if you assume the positive, they do want to help out. They don't want to victimize you, but if you think like a victim, you're going to attract victim circumstances. If you think victoriously, you will attract people that like to be around you. You said you didn't like to be around victims. If you are victorious, you attract people that also want to do that, help you be victorious, help you realize that, because that is fun to be around.
Right.
That's all. It's fun to be around those people, and people will help you. You have to let them help you.
Right, right.
And let people help her. You know, she let people come in and take, you know, some of the weight off of her. And I helped teach her how to do that, where it was okay. She didn't, you know, she'd gotten so used to carrying the whole weight herself that she didn't even know it was possible to set it down and give it to somebody else.
Right.
And so when you do that, when you help people realize that, you know, it's not personal, don't make assumptions, assume the positive, don't try and be perfect, quiet that critical voice, draw some boundaries, you will not be a victim. Victims do not draw boundaries, by the way.
Right.
That's how they get, one of the ways they get victimized.
Right.
You know, they'll loan money when they don't have any money. I saw Susie Orman the other day talking to a group of women, and she was coaching this woman, Susie Orman, the great financial expert. She was saying to the woman, wait a minute, how much debt do you have on your credit cards? Why are you loaning your daughter money when you need to be paying off your credit cards?
Right.
So there again, you know, the woman was victimizing herself and was not drawing boundaries with her daughter.
Yeah, I can't get ahead because I've got to support my family.
Yeah.
Right.
Even though my family, you know, they're 25 and 26 years old and are working.
I get it.
So all right. Did that clear that up?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've got several great points here in a row. Stop taking things personally. Stop aiming for perfection. And don't be a victim. And that's going to lead us to the next one, which, boy, in corporations and in corporate life, I think is a big issue at times in terms of avoiding power struggles. And we're going to begin that in just a moment.